before Brother Sam comes and sing for us, if you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 6, we'll read verses 1 through 13. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. I want to take just a moment once again. It's good to have Clay and Cindy Hoseman back with us. They visited with us past week. Good to have them with us this morning. I'm sure you've already shook their hand, but make sure if you haven't, you do so before they leave. And of course, also, there's a privilege to have Jimmy, Jessica, and Jenna with us, visiting with us again today, visiting with us for the first time today. And if I've left you out, if you're visiting for the first time, in a long time, I apologize, but we're glad you're here and looking forward to the services this morning. Thought this morning is overcoming the temptation of sin. Overcoming the temptation of sin. Let's look together in Romans chapter 6 before Brother Sam comes to sing for us. We'll begin reading in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Following this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death have no more dominion over him. For in that he died into sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto him. And step number one, know him. You heard the song, if you knew him like I know him. My message this morning is primarily to those who know that they know that they know that they're saved and on their way to heaven. But if you're here today and you're not sure about your salvation, I promise if you will listen, you will get something from it. You will also realize and understand what you should see in believers who say they're Christians, but also maybe be challenged to find out what you need to do to become one yourself. And folks, I don't know about you. You ever been tempted? I think we all have. I tell you what, there's a lot of battles, but one of my battles is that four-letter word, D-I-E-T. Boy, do I get more temptation when I decide to do something like that. So I've decided I'm just not going to do it. I'm just going to try to make some lifestyle changes. I mean, it's hard to keep a belt on a funnel, but I'm working on it. Some of y'all get that in a minute. But overcoming the temptation of sin. We've read our text this morning. We'll get right into the message. But you know, many Christians have a problem with their hearing. They hear Satan with surround sound, but they hear the whisper of the Holy Spirit in the old 8-track style that jams easily and was unreliable. We don't hear him the way we should. I was reading in my devotions this morning. I was challenged once again, and some of the devotions I read sometimes will give a backstory of a pastor who's went on to be with the Lord, or a missionary, or evangelist. And I've read his book, and I'm going to go back and read it again on Spurgeon, but it made the comment, I was reminded that the Metropolitan Tabernacle was not always named that. It had another name before that. But when young Spurgeon came to be as their pastor, he was 19 years old. And I thought to myself, there's no way I could have pastored a church at 19. I was too immature. I wasn't ready. I might have thought I was ready, but I don't know that I actually heard the whisper of the Holy Spirit the way I should have when I was a little younger. This is what I preach. This is not the sermon. This is free. And I'll get back to my outline. This is what I appreciate about Brother Spurgeon. There's no radio. There's no television. He preached up to 12 times a week. He read the newspaper. He listened to what was going on. And he was one of the most controversial preachers of his age. He wasn't afraid to preach against and on politics. He wasn't afraid to preach against what was going on in the community, though people did not like it. He got death threats. He stuck to the word of God and just reared back and let her fly. God blessed his ministry, took him home at a young age in his 50s. In fact, he was my age or younger when he went on to be with heaven. But the man worked himself to death and serving the Lord. He just stayed at it. And dear friends, pray for me, pray for our country, pray for other pastors that they'd be willing to just rear back and let her fly. Don't worry about what others say. Preach the word and allow it lie on the hearer's ears. Please be in prayer with me this morning. I'm not angry with anyone but the devil, but I am tired. I've been up since 1:30 trying to get back to sleep and had a few health issues this morning. I'm fine. I'm just tired. And quite frankly, I'm a little bit irritable, but I'm going to ask the Lord to help me to preach this sermon without preaching that way. Amen. Now, as we think about that aspect of hearing, the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, hearing the world and the devil and surround sound, but that faint whisper of the Holy Spirit, folks, that tells us that the power of sin is real and has a tremendous pull on the lives of millions today. There's no one exempt. Being saved does not mean that Satan has given up on you. Not by any means. He is actively trying to discourage and destroy your testimony. Because if he can hurt your testimony, he can damage your testimony, then you will not be an effective testimony for those that are watching your lives. If he can't have you, he will do all that he can to destroy your testimony. You might as well face it. If you're going to serve the Lord, you face it. You've got a target on your back for the devil. But that's okay. Just keep serving the Lord. Trust him to protect you. And just remind yourself of the things that are around you and what the devil does. Let me give a few statistics here in my introduction before we move on. Baptist News Global. This is just after COVID. Every second, $3,075.64 is being spent on pornography. Every second, 28,258 internet users are viewing pornography. Every second, 372 internet users are typing adult search terms in their search engines. Every 39 minutes, a new pornographic video is being created in the United States, mostly in California. 57% of pastors struggle with pornography. Hear that? 57. I wonder how many were dishonest in the survey. 64% of youth pastors. Hold on to your hats, ladies. 68% of church-going men and 87% of Christian women have watched porn. My thoughts are the women must be more honest. Of young Christian adults, ages 18 to 24 years of age, 76 actively search for pornography. Folks, that's just one topic. Don't even consider drugs and fentanyl and all else that's going on in our world today. Arizona just seized $1.2 million worth of fentanyl and drugs here in Arizona outside of Phoenix on its way to Colorado last week. It's all around us. We need to be forewarned that we might be forearmed and understand the devil may be coming for us. We can overcome the temptation, but we must not yield to those things. We must make sure that we're around other believers, but most importantly, in the Word of God. You see, every Christian struggles with some type of sin. Temptation, anger, alcohol, tobacco, lying, gossip, deceit, selfishness, and the list goes on and on. Here, in the book of Romans, chapter 6, teaches the sanctification of the Christian. In other words, we're set apart. If we truly desire to become more like Christ, then we must recognize that God's work of sanctification is ongoing. I mean, we're not set apart. Oh, hey, praise the Lord, young man, young lady. You're saved. You're good to go. Let's see if we can find somebody else. No, that's just the beginning. We're to grow through that, on that, add to, do all we can to be more like him, as we discussed in our Sunday school class earlier this morning. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 through 17. Love not the world. We'll stop right there. That's part of the problem. We get involved too much and love too much the things of the world. Let's continue. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Dear friends, as believers, how do we overcome the temptation of sin? We'll look at one point this morning, or a couple of subpoints, and we'll look next week at a couple more. But as believers, how do we overcome that temptation? What is it that we can do, that we can put into our arsenal to help us? Now, we have a good time at our men's fellowship. And every once in a while, especially recently, somebody will bring in a weapon. And last past week, somebody brought Wednesday, Pastor, is it okay if I bring in my whatever it was? And then he says, it doesn't have any ammo in it. There's no ammo with me. It'll be empty. Sure, bring it in. And we enjoyed looking at it, talking about it, talking about the ammo, what kind of ammo you use, what's your favorite handgun, and the list goes on. And dear friends, gentlemen, let me challenge you. If we know more about taking that weapon apart, putting it back together, and what kind of ammo to use best, better than we know the word, you better be prepared for the temptation of the devil. We need to be better forearmed with the word than we are with any handgun or equipment that we have. Amen? And it's okay to have those things. I have one as well. Somebody walks into my house, went into disruption, they'll be in for a rude awakening. But my concern is, am I spiritually armed? Am I prepared to defend me, myself, my wife, my family, my congregation as a shepherd? And as believers, how do we overcome those things? Well, number one, by refusing to abuse the grace of God. Here's the problem we have today. We take for granted the grace of God. I mean, we know we take it. We take for granted many things in our life, but are we taking for granted and abuse the grace of God? Now, you back up and read Romans chapter 5, beginning verse 20, and read through. You'll see some more, but let's take a little closer at Romans 6:15. What then, as Paul's writing, what shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace. What's the next few words there? God forbid. Hey, it's not salvation is not a license to sin. Hey, we may know we're going to spend eternity, but it doesn't mean like we live like the devil while we're here below. We are to be Christ-honoring, Lord-fearing, and serving one another as well as serving others they may come to know Christ. And that starts with the aspect of making sure that we do not abuse the grace of God. You see, too many Christians today have developed the attitude that they can live however they want and still be right and holy with a holy God. Folks, I'm telling you, if you think that way, you're wrong. You can't just live any way you want. And all you've heard this before. It's like the teenager that says, I can't wait to get out of the home. I'm tired of all the rules. As soon as I graduate, I'm going to join the military. It's just as crazy to think that you can live any way you want because you bowed your head and said a prayer. Dear friends, if you bowed your head and said a prayer and you turned from sin and turned to Christ, that means we continue to follow Him and leave sin behind. We don't continue to live that life and say, well, it's under grace, it's under grace. Then where's the true repentance? The Bible tells us in Titus chapter 2, it's a little lengthy passage, Titus chapter 2, I'll give you a moment to turn there, but beginning reading in verse number 11, Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared unto all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify in himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Dear friends, we must not yield to the idea that we can live how we want. Let me bring it home a little more. If you're doing things around the house, you're doing things in secret somewhere else, you're watching something or whatever, listening to something or involved in something, and you would be embarrassed if someone else sees, you probably shouldn't be doing it. That's why my computer is facing when my wife walks in, boom, there it is. That's why my wife, my daughters all have the passcode to all of my devices. They can pick it up, boop, 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 and they're open, they're in. I want them to have access. I want them to know. I want the accountability. I don't want to be embarrassed or ashamed if they see anything through my email, through my text messages, through any communication that I have. Dear friends, it's called, gentlemen, accountability. If there's something we're doing that would be ashamed if someone else saw, then maybe we need to readdress. Because why? We cannot yield to the idea that we can live how we want to. Don't accommodate the flesh. Your flesh will fail you. Letter A this morning. By refusing to abuse the grace of God, letter A, grace is never a license to sin. Never, under any condition, is grace a license to sin. Paul is speaking here of willful sin. Don't misunderstand me. I'm talking about willful sin. Nobody wakes up, as you've heard me say before, no one wakes up and says, I'm going to fall into sin, embarrass myself and my family, and ruin my ministry. No, they don't plan it that way. It just happens. That's why we are to be prepared. Grace is never a license to sin. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Don't feed the flesh. I was talking to a missionary when I was in Bible college and made the comment of having a ministry on the reservation. And he made the comment about trying to reach the chief. This is back years ago when it was a little bit different than it is today. And trying to get an idea about helping him to overcome the flesh. And they had a couple of dogs there, not too far from his teepee. So we're going way back. It's a missionary teller story of another missionary. And he made the comment and said, well, okay, the Lord gave him a thought. There's those two dogs fighting. So he asked the chief, well, who usually wins when they fight? And the chief scratched his head, thought for a few moments. He said, well, I guess it's the one that I feed the most. Boom, the light comes on. It's the same way. Folks, whatever part of the flesh that we feed is the one that's going to overcome and cause us to have problems with temptation. Are we feeding the flesh? Are we feeding the spirit? What kind of spiritual diet are you on? Do you have biscuits and gravy over the Word of God? And I use biscuits and gravy and grits and eggs because I'm a Southern boy. Do you use that as your spiritual aspect of feasting on the Word? Or is that what you have on the spiritual things of feeding the eye gate, the ear gate? What is it that we feed? How do we feed the spirit versus how we feed the flesh? Do we allow the things of the world enter in without being washed or cleansed out by replacing it or coming in behind it with something else? James chapter 1, verse 25 and 26. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Dear friends, do not allow grace to be looked at as upon a license of sin. We must protect not only the eye gate and ear gate, but we must also be careful about what we say. Gossip, retelling stories, you know how it goes. You tell a story, someone else tells a story. By the end of the day, it's so big, but it started somewhere. Folks, let's not take advantage of the grace of God, and let's not use this grace to our license of sin. There is never a reason for a Christian to say, well, it's okay this time. Hello? Because it leads to something else. It leads to something else. Letter B. Grace should not only also never be a license of sin, but grace should be a motivation. It should motivate us. It should encourage us. Biblical justification will produce sanctification. And the simple definition here of sanctification is set apart. Dear friends, we are set apart. The Lord, in His saving us, has set us apart as a vessel, His children, to be used of Him to make a difference in the world. And we should desire to grow and be more like Him day by day. We are motivated to serve. Galatians chapter 5, if we allow grace to be a motivation. Galatians 5:13, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Are we motivated to serve because of the grace of God? Are we motivated to love because of the grace of God? 1 Peter 2:16, as free and not using our liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Or does grace not only motivate us in this area of serving, but does it motivate us again to be servants in the hands of God to serve one another? As I mentioned this morning, it's such a blessing to be involved in a pastor church where I see people not only serving one another, but serving their pastor, serving their pastor's wife, serving one another, asking how they're doing. Do you need a ride? Is there anything I can do to help you? That's a blessing, and that's grace and God working in our lives that we might use that grace to motivate us to serve. But not only to serve, grace should also motivate us to encourage. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Are we motivated to encourage? When's the last time that you encouraged someone? Some years ago, when I was pastoring in Germany with a military ministry, we had a service, and I challenged the people there, hey, look, for the next 30 days, and hoping he would catch on and go further, I want you to pray about and think about how you can be an encouragement to somebody each and every week. Doesn't have to be one. It can be two. It can be seven for 7 days of the week. But think about how you could encourage someone, whether it be publicly, secretly, through a letter, or openly, but not looking for credit, but just to serve and to encourage someone. I tell you what, folks, that was a blessing to me. And it was encouragement. Here's one thing that's kind of humorous that I liked. It wasn't a couple days later that it snowed. And a lot of guys showed up to shovel the parking lot, and the preacher didn't have to do it. What encouragement that was to me as they served one another and also served there to church services. Let me ask you again, when's the last time you wrote or texted or told someone, I appreciate you? Boy, you're such a blessing to me. It doesn't even have to be face-to-face. In fact, you don't even have to sign your name. You could just kind of give a note, let someone know that no one else needs to know, but I just want you to know that I love you. I appreciate you. You are such a blessing. We are to do those types of things. Grace should motivate us to not only serve, but to encourage one another. And encouragement means we talk optimistically. We use words that encourages others and not tear them down. We are motivated to serve. We are motivated to encourage. But also concerning their grace to motivate us, we are motivated to love. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Bible tells us in verse 6 and 7, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. How are we loving others? Let's just be honest. There are some folks we may not like, but God tells us to love them anyway. Hey, we're to love. We're to love unconditionally. Sometimes it's harder, but think about it once in a while. Has there ever been a time in your life where you were hard to love? Come on. We're not always very lovable like we should be, but we are to love on others no matter how we feel, no matter what's going on, no matter what we think, and grace should motivate us to do this. But dear friends, if we abuse the grace of God, we will succumb to temptation. If we take advantage of what God has done for us and to say, I'm just going to live my life, I don't need God, I don't need anything else. No, we not only need our Lord for salvation, we need him for daily growth, for spiritual growth, for guidance, for encouragement. We need his grace. We need his mercy. And therefore, we should also extend it to others. Dear friend, are you abusing the grace of God? Are you sitting there with what we call fire insurance? I know I'm on my way to heaven. I'm okay with that. That's all I need. Dear friends, you're missing the main course if you feel that way. if you think that way. There's so much more. I mean, salvation is great, don't misunderstand me, but there's so much more after salvation and getting to know and live for the Lord and for the Lord to use you in ways that you never thought possible. I'm telling others and introducing others to Christ. Dear friends, are you overwhelmed with the attacks of Satan? Maybe it's because you're abusing the grace of God. If you feel that you're overwhelmed with the attacks of Satan, let me ask, are you hanging in there? Are you still in the Word? Because if you serve God and you want to live for the Lord, there are going to come attacks. There's no immunity to that. That's not what I'm preaching this morning. I'm just saying don't abuse the grace of God when Satan attacks. Say, don't be hey, say, help me. Help. Help. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, hey, you break down the side of the road here at Interstate 10, who are you going to call? You're going to call somebody to help you. Whether it be your husband, your spouse, a friend, or somebody. Hey, I'm broke down. Can you give me a ride? Can you help me out? Whatever the case may be. You're going to call out for help for the physical man. Why not call out for help for the spiritual man? If you're struggling, say, Lord, help me. Lord, send somebody to encourage me. Why not share with another brother or sister in Christ? Hey, pray for me, man. I've really been going through it this week. The devil's on my case, but I know God is with me. Would you pray with me? Would you pray for me? And let me encourage you. Somebody asked you that. Not only did you say yes, you stop in your tracks and pray right then and there and continue to do so. Dear friends, why not make a decision today, right now, to ask God to help you overcome the temptation of sin? If you're not struggling in that area, praise God, thank Him for it, but that day may come around the corner. Michelle and I have learned through the ministry, when Satan comes around and rocks our world and disrupts things, we do our best to hold on, because more likely than not, and in most cases, God is blessing, things are going well, and the old devil comes by and sticks one of those rods right into our bicycle spokes as we're going down the road. He just wants to disrupt everything. We've seen it happen. We've also seen the Lord take that and turn it around because we didn't quit and we didn't give up. I can't remember if I ever gave you the example of this. Let's go ahead. If you heard it before, just bear with me and pretend you didn't. These things come to me. I should have wrote them down in my notes. I say a lot of things that aren't in my notes. But I can remember being on the mission field. Things were going well. We finally saw some people saved. We had 13 people get saved in one service. After not seeing anyone saved for months, things were going well. We moved from one building, got another building. No one bothered to tell us that the house of culture, the Dom Cultura, the house of culture there in that little village in Eastern Europe and Moldova, where the Communist Party met and political parties met to give their little speeches before elections. No one bothered to tell us they were having on a Sunday morning during our church time. We had reserved the building. We'd been using it for several months. We show up. They're there. They say, well, we can't use it. And so what are we going to do? I tell you what we did. Shell pulled out her flannel graph. She taught Sunday school right in the middle of four apartment buildings, right in the picnic area. Parents were looking out the window. Folks were hanging over, wondering what was going on. They'd never seen flannel graph before. We could have packed up and quit, but we didn't. She taught Sunday school, and I preached. We had services. All those parents that were looking out the window, trying to figure out what was going on, and she was teaching through a young lady, Ludmila, who was translating. And here's what God did for us. We didn't get discouraged because of what the government did for us. We decided to stay with it, have a church outside. And all those parents who were scared of the Baptists, because if you didn't know, Baptists sacrifice children to their God, not their kids, your kids. That was the propaganda of the Orthodox Church. So while they looked outside and saw the teaching and all that was going on, the songs that we sang with the children, some of those parents began to come down. It wasn't before long they began to come into the church services. And one particularly redheaded gal came in. She got saved. She not only got saved, she said, Preacher, I've got a problem. I'm living with my boyfriend. What am I going to do? I said, kick him out. He's about 6'8", 325 pounds. And she said, well, I'll do that, but you need to get somebody to be by your side because he won't be happy. So one of the guys who worked with me, Vanya, Turkish fella, 6'8", and reminded me of Jethro Bodine, except he was a lot smarter, spoke six languages. And he said, Preacher, I'm by your side every morning, every evening. I'm here until this blows over. That sister got saved, went through discipleship, and then she began teaching and using puppets of other ministries And it all started because the devil tried to put a spoke in our wheels, and we said, by the grace of God, we're going to go on. Even though just things are going, hey, things are going great. We just saw a bunch of people saved, and now we lose our building. We either quit, give up, go home. Sorry, folks, no church. We'll try it again next week. Well, let's try it again tonight. No, we said, no, we're going to have church. And God bless and God honored. Folks, if you're serving God, you're living for God, things are going well, hold on, because the devil will tempt you. He will throw something in your way. He will discourage you. Just hold on and realize that, hey, he that is in me is greater than anything Satan shows at me. Don't succumb to temptation. Don't be overwhelmed with it. Just say, Lord, by your grace, help me through this. Dear friends, you're not alone. We all struggle. The difference in the temptation is whether we yield to sin or we flee from it. Put your running shoes on, Ron Hamilton says. As believers, how do we overcome temptation of sin? By refusing to abuse the grace of God. And we must remember that grace is never a license to sin. Grace should be a motivation in all that we do. And dear friends, don't listen to Satan's lies. Allow his grace to motivate you to serve, to encourage, and to love others as Christ loves us. In other words, live like you're set apart. Live like you're sanctified. Miss Marlene, if you'll come to the piano this morning. Let me ask you this morning as we prepare to close. Let's go ahead and stand together, heads bowed and our eyes closed. And maybe the Lord's spoken your heart in some way today. Maybe the devil's been after you. Maybe you feel like, I am tired. Preacher, devil, one thing after another, he's on my case. Maybe you want to come this morning and just pray and say, Lord, by the grace of God, no matter how hard the devil chases me, no matter how much he tempts me, I will not abuse your grace. I will do all that I can to not allow this grace to be a license to sin. And I'll do all I can to allow grace to motivate me to serve, to love, and to encourage others. And as I'm doing that, I will trust you to help me overcome those problems. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your mercy and for your grace. Father, I pray there's anyone here today that doesn't know that they know that they know they're saved on their way to heaven. May today be their day of salvation. May that Christian who's discouraged and feel like Satan is on their case, Father, would you just remind them of your saving grace? Would you remind them of the grace they have, the sanctification of being set apart unto you, Father, and that you're there to help them and to throw out that lifeline as and when needed. Father, help us to keep our sights and focus on you, we ask in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed, eyes are still